Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, joining us now on the Catlin Capital Hotline, a big game going on up north in the Palouse, and Kyle Bonagura of ESPN covers the Pac-12, joins us now. Good morning, Kyle. How are you, my man?
I'm doing good.
Okay, you're going to be up on the Palouse. You are a former Coug, though you cover the conference without bias.
No biases. No biases.
The big question will be, we asked Ryan Leaf this earlier, who is the guest picker on College Game Day after 15 years of waiting? Who do you believe it'll be?
Yeah, so I have no inside knowledge or anything like that, just to get that out there. I actually think Leaf would be a pretty good pick. I mean, he's a good story because he's turned things around. He obviously meant a lot to the program when he was there, and, you know, I think it could be a nice story. But, you know, Drew Bledsoe, there's a few other names to consider. It'll be interesting to see who they settle in on.
Ryan Leaf told us he's not going to do it because he's going to be at In-N-Out. He's the keynote speaker for the In-N-Out Foundation. So he is out. Bledsoe's a good one. And then we've gotten a lot of Dolph Lundgren has been thrown out there. Ooh. Quite a bit.
Someone suggested that to me on Twitter this week. And you guys, when you have a chance, should Google Dolph Lundgren and see why he was in the news this week. It will it'll be an eye-opening experience for you.
Going right now.
And I would recommend keeping that to yourself.
All right, perfect.
You blew my mind. As I like, what could he have done, or what could he have done? Kyle, what do you think about this game this week when you match up with Oregon and that the way the game ended versus Washington, the battle back and forth, and Dusty mentioned a stat about a hangover effect about teams that play Oregon. Have you noticed the way that Oregon has decided to change their mentality from the basketball on grass, and how that's going to carry into this Washington State game, which I believe Washington State, you know, is one call away from being an undefeated team, down what they had to deal with that targeting call and some of the pass interferences. But have you noticed the shift in how Oregon has decided to play football under Coach Cristobal?
Yeah, I think it's been a pretty obvious change, right? I mean, if you just look at the amount of plays and time in between plays, it's clear that they're not playing with the same tempo that they had in past years. And obviously it's working out with for them so far. I mean, I think just the fact that you have Justin Herbert on the field, it's kind of hard to mess that up, right?
And with Justin Herbert, I mean, the way that he has played for this Oregon team, we saw him. We thought it was going to be a lot of Herbert last week against Washington, and we saw they had the reins pulled back. You were at the game in Autzen Stadium. When you see a Washington team kind of get out physical, how does that play with Washington State, who, if they've had troubles with teams, it has been the teams that kind of try and bully them around, like UW has the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I think that WC actually does a pretty good job of countering physicality with just the type of offense it plays. And defensively, they're so athletic. They do such a good job of creating negative plays. They're really creative with the way they bring pressure. So I think they understand maybe some of the limitations physically. And it's really not that much of a problem as it had been in prior years. But they do a good job of with their scheme of limiting any sort of physical advantage teams might have against them.
Yeah, we had Ryan Leaf on the show earlier this morning at 6:30, and he had mentioned that for Gardner Minshew, it's his transition from running this offense since he was, what, in eighth grade, or having that kind of background heading into what Coach Leach wanted from a guy. There's still only 10 plays that he's asked to do realistically in this air raid kind of offense. Is that why it's so simple at Washington State and it's so efficient week in and week out with how they move the ball up and down the field offensively? Is that he just made it easy for these guys to transition?
Yeah, that's a good point by Ryan, and I'll defer to any X's and O's stuff to him. He said he will rely on his knowledge there. But yeah, I mean, when you look at Gardner in this offense, I think what's really interesting to watch is that he has such good pocket feel, and maybe that's something that they were lacking with Falk in years past. He took a lot of sacks, but Gardner seems to really be comfortable in there. He moves well in the pocket, and he gets rid of the ball quickly too. And those are all traits that are so beneficial in that offense. And there's, you know, he had maybe a slower start to the year, and then he's really, you know, I think he's an improvement over Falk, and it's been a, you know, the quarterback play is obviously so important every year there, but the fact that there was able to be such a seamless transition has really allowed them to be where they are.
Kyle Bonagura, ESPN's Pac-12 writer, is on the Catlin Capital hotline with us. Okay, we're at the midway point of the season, and we're looking at some surprising things, and Mario Cristobal has said that, you know, the expectations within their building are actually higher than what people say. So they say, whether you want to call us ahead of schedule or not, is one of the most surprising things in the conference so far at the midway point, Oregon being ahead of schedule from where we thought they would be at this point?
Yeah, I'm not really into the ahead of schedule thing too much. I think it's valid to consider that, but I think that to have that discussion, it really has to come later in the year, right? Mm-hmm. Because right now we've still got four teams in the Pac-12 North with one loss. Oregon has the big win against Washington, but other than that, you know, they really haven't been tested. The non-conference was what it was. Not a whole lot there. Cal, we don't. It probably maybe 10th best team in the conference at this point. So I would hesitate to say they're ahead of schedule now, just because I'd like to see a larger sample size, a little bit, maybe three quarters of the way through the year before we kind of draw any firm conclusions on that. Because I mean, if you lose this week to Washington State, all of a sudden now you're back to fourth in the Pac-12 North, and that wouldn't be ahead of schedule, right?
What would you consider the biggest surprise so far, midway point of the year?
I mean, I think it's got to be Arizona.
Right.
And the complete inability to generate anything on offense. And with Khalil Tate, I know he's been hurt since the Houston game early in the year with the ankle injury. He's not playing this week. But, I mean, that was a team that a lot of people had as a sweeper Pac-12 title type team because of how impressive they were offensively with Tate last year once he was established himself as a starter. So for them to be in no way relevant in the Pac-12 South race, which is not a good division, is really disappointing and really a big surprise for me.
Do you see a playoff team anywhere? I know that the conversation is that the Pac-12 is out. I mean, I felt like that. I mean, there was that conversation immediately when Washington lost the first one versus Auburn, and Oregon didn't have the big name team on their schedule in non-conference. Is there any way, do you see a college football playoff team anywhere in the Pac-12?
I do not. And I think it was way too early once Washington lost, because there's just so many things to factor in. That was just absurd that it was being discussed that early in the year. But now when you look at the teams that are and have a chance to, first of all, you're not going to have a Pac-12 team with two losses that's going to be in the conversation. That's just not going to happen. And so right now there's three one-loss teams. It's Oregon, it's Washington State, and it's Colorado. None of those teams have a non-conference win that's going to be of any value in any sort of playoff discussion, right? So even if they were to win out, it would take a lot of chaos elsewhere in the country to allow one of those teams to be seriously considered. And you know, I just don't think any of the three are going to finish undefeated, right? I mean, there's just too many games that could go either way involving those three remaining the rest of the way. So I just don't see it. And I just don't think there's a team that's deserving, right? I mean, even if, you know, if Oregon goes on and maybe they lose one more game and they look good, right? But I don't think I'd feel good about this Oregon team or Washington State or Colorado, any of the one-loss teams taking the field against those other teams that are currently in that playoff discussion.
So do you feel that is a shot to the conference being a weak conference, or is it a shot to say that it's balanced? I mean, how would you describe the conference if you're looking at it? I mean, okay, good. You're balanced. You have more distribution of wins and losses, or this conference isn't good because it doesn't have a dominant team.
So that's interesting. I actually wrote a little bit about that today. An article just published a little while ago. And there's varying viewpoints on how you want to look at it. Because if you have one good team like the ACC, right? So Clemson is clearly the best team in the ACC. There's not much else there. Does that mean that the ACC is better than the Pac-12? Well, I mean, that's certainly a discussion that you have at length, because I think up and down the conference, the Pac-12 is probably better. But because you have a team at the top, how that conference is perceived is a little bit different. And obviously the Pac-12 doesn't have that elite team right now, but it is competitive and it's an entertaining conference to watch. I mean, I really enjoy Pac-12 football. I mean, there's not another conference, another Power 5 conference in the country where you can legitimately have a team at the bottom of the standings. I mean, we saw this a couple weeks ago with UCLA and Washington. Washington was, at that time, considered the best team in the conference. UCLA hadn't won a game. They played a competitive game. That doesn't happen anywhere else. And whether that's a good thing or not, I enjoy it as a fan of Pac-12 football, but it does prevent the conference from getting recognized nationally. It prevents the conference from being seriously involved in some of these discussions about the playoffs, and that hurts the visibility. And so it's really what you prioritize as a fan, but it certainly doesn't help them nationally.
Kyle Bonagura, ESPN Pac-12 writer. All right. Before we let you go, is the South Division, in your estimation, going to be determined this weekend in Salt Lake City between USC and Utah? Do you think the winner of that one ultimately ends up winning that division?
I do. I do believe that's the case, yeah. I mean, Utah's done such a good job turning it around the last couple of weeks. They've been, in a small sample size here, but the last 2 weeks, I think they've probably been the best team in the conference just on how they played, who it's come against. USC is turning things around, so you know, we'll see. I mean, I still think USC probably will win that division, but we'll certainly I'll switch my pick to whoever wins that game.
Kyle Bonagura, ESPN. Find him on Twitter at Bonagura ESPN. Really appreciate the time, man. Have fun.
Thanks,
back
Kyle.
Up in the Palouse.
All right, thanks, guys.